Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. At least four people have died and others have been hurt in strong storms, including a possible tornado across the St. Louis area. KMOX's Sean Malone is checking out some of the damage.
I'm in a neighborhood called Fountain Park, where looking at some of the houses around here are partially collapsed. A statue of Martin Luther King Jr. in the middle of the park knocked over, along with the majority of the trees in the park snapped in half. The most tragic thing that happened, though, is the Centennial Christian Church partially collapsed, trapping three people inside. I can confirm one of those people died inside, the other two taken to the hospital. Sean Malone for CBS News, St. Louis.
Over 138 million people are under the threat of strong, long-track tornadoes, large hail and wind damage. Flash flooding is possible in the Mississippi and Ohio valleys. A lone guard assigned to watch a cell pod at a New Orleans jail left to get food. And Orleans Parish Sheriff Susan Hudson says that is when 10 inmates made their escape this morning.
We have indication that these detainees received assistance in their escape from individuals inside of our department. And the escape was discovered during a routine headcount.
Nine are still on the run after one of the inmates was caught after a short foot chase through the French Quarter. A federal judge in Maryland says that the Trump administration's explanation for withholding information in the case of the Maryland man who was wrongly deported into Venezuela is inadequate. CBS's Scott McFarlane explains.
The administration says it is moving as quickly as it can with information on this case. But the judge, clearly frustrated, wants more answers and wants them more quickly. But this case, 2 months later, remains stuck in that mud.
High temperatures projected across the U.S. this summer could take a toll on your budget by driving up the price of keeping your home cool. Home electricity bills are expected to rise an average of $784 for the summer period, up more than 6% from last year and marking a 12-year record. That according to a new analysis from the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. It's back to committee after President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill fails to get out of the House Budget Committee. More from CBS's Nicole Killian.
Conservatives are pushing for deeper cuts while moderates are urging caution and seeking changes to state and local tax provisions. Negotiations are expected to continue throughout the weekend.
Moody's Ratings has stripped the U.S. government of its top credit rating. CBS's Finn Gomez with details.
They have downgraded the United States by a notch to AA1 from AAA, citing rising debt and interest.
Moody's is the last of the three major rating agencies to lower the federal government's credit. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Minnesota Twins. It's the start of a three-game weekend series. The Twins come into Milwaukee as one of the hottest teams in the big leagues with an 11-game winning streak. We spoke to manager Pat Murphy in his office before the game.
Everything worries me about everybody. Everybody's good. There's not a team on that schedule there. There's not a team on that schedule that you don't respect the same way. And then sometimes you over-respect teams that you don't need to. You certainly can't undervalue any team there, because every team on that schedule can beat you. The record does not matter. The Reds just got beat 2 out of 3 by the White Sox at home. You know, does that mean the Reds are a bad team? They're absolutely not a bad team. What does that mean? Tito Francona is a bad manager? Of course not. The bottom line is, anybody, it's big leagues. Anybody can beat anybody any given day.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. I'll have a full recap later tonight from Milwaukee with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Jennifer Lawrence is the last true movie star, according to Sean Penn. The actor discussed numerous celebrities on the Louis Theroux podcast recently, and as usual, spoke his mind. The Fast Times at Ridgemont High star said he felt the movie star manufacturer stopped working right after Lawrence. That's a lot of pressure on Lawrence. Penn also had effusive praise for Tom Cruise, calling him an extraordinary craftsman and an actor who pursues excellence on such a high level. Penn also talked about how impressed he was with the fact that Cruise does his own stunts and called him, in addition to being a remarkable actor, probably the best stuntman in Hollywood. Penn did say there were many young great actors out there, and when asked if Timothée Chalamet was one of them, said he hadn't seen any of the A Complete Unknown stars' films. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, some showers, even a few thunderstorms and breezy, lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, still an early shower and breezy, highs in the mid-60s. Partly sunny in mid to upper 50s Sunday.
It's 71 right now.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, will join us to talk about resources for Wisconsin farmers. Please don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting the cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy Wee to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jake. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes. Hey, getting ready for tonight. People, I know I ran into a few people that listened to the show that went to, that I met at the last opening, Haley, the Four Sisters, or not the Four Sisters, excuse me, All My Relations Art Gallery in Minneapolis. And I'll be heading over there, right over over there. And the curator talk starts at 7. And they have like refreshments and things at All My Relations Arts on right next to Powwow Grounds on Franklin Avenue. Oh,
yeah, this is with the Native American Community Development Institute and their art gallery, All My Relations Arts. They are doing their opening of Creation Story, which is the newest exhibit coming. The originators of this exhibit are Keith Braveheart and David Meyer. Some of the featured artists, I just want to shout these people out. Hopefully I say your name correctly. John Goes In Center, James Starr Comes Out, Michaela Patton, Randy Lynn Boucher-Giago, Dwayne Wilcox, Diane Whitehawk, Marlena Miles, Talon Duke Chanel, Keith Braveheart, Jada Great Eagle, Kylie Wanity Thunderhawk, Angela Babby, Destiny Big Crow, and Billy Jonas. Wow, this is going to be a huge exhibit.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people there and a lot of great artists and a lot of names we know. And we're going to have a couple of these artists on our show coming in the coming week. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, if you can get over to All My Relations Art Gallery this tonight, May 8th, that curator's talk is going to get started with refreshments and snacks at 6. The curator's talk will be at 7, and that'll go until 8. The address for that is 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Get on over there. I think Powwow Grounds usually does the catering before the curator's talk, and I know, Robert, you and I are both a fan of those bison meatballs. They go quick, so you want to get there.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I know I did.
Exactly. I wasn't going to mention them because then there'd be more people showing up and eating my meatballs before I get there. Oh, wow.
They do have other options, too, if that's not your thing. So.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and they do. Bob Royce does a great job catering. So
yeah, all the time. We love Powwow Grounds, really. Yeah,
exactly.
Even the cedar tea. I want to shout that out. It's so refreshing.
Oh, yeah.
The cedar tea.
You know, you can make that with, we can talk about that some other time, but it's not that hard. There is ways to make cedar tea out there, and you want to put lemon and honey in it too, and boil it. And I know during COVID, I guess I'm going off subject here, but COVID, I was making cedar tea because I wanted to fight COVID. That was before they had any shots or anything, and people were going back to the sacred ways.
Yeah, good to just have every day. I like to have it in the morning, like you said, with honey and stuff. Going back to the curator stock or the creation story exhibit, that will be on view tonight, May 8th, and then through July 26th. Mm-hmm. So you do have some time to get out there. The Four Sisters Farmers Market starts up next week, so that could be a good time to check out what's going on at the exhibit also.
Yeah, perfectly. And tomorrow, right after the show, the Ho-Chunk 5K will be happening, the run walk, free family event, registered at Eventbrite. But I've talked to them now and they said just show up. They got t-shirts. They've gotten extra t-shirts. So it's the 14th annual Ho-Chunk 5K, founded by Vice President DeLong when she was working for St. Paul Public Schools. And expect a meal, a DJ, and t-shirts, and usually a raffle. So I just want to give that a quick shout out. Tomorrow starting at 5. So bring your transistor radio and listen to the show and walk.
Yeah, or run if you want to run. I want to shout out too also quickly before we get Dr. Stately back on with us today. AIFC, American Indian Family Center, will be hosting their annual open house tomorrow, Friday, May 9th. During the day, this will be from 12 to 2 p.m. It's going to be at the American Family Center in St. Paul, 579 Wells Street. It's going to be outside, so dress for the weather. It looks like it will be sunny and warm, which is awesome. Come ready to celebrate American Indian Month with great laughs. There's going to be a light lunch and fun activities for all ages.
You know, in the past, too, they've had some rockin' t-shirts. So, again, I will be trying to get over there for that.
We know you love your t-shirts, Robert.
Great. Hey, let's bring, should we bring Dr. Stately on?
I would love to.
Right on. Hey, we have Dr. Stately, our friend that's usually on Monday, and I really appreciate you coming on again. I know we had a limited time with you last time, but it's great to have you back on and talk about a few things, and especially what's going on in the community. And, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. We always want to wish a happy Native American Month here in Minnesota, but, you know, we've gone through some sorrows, and you were excellent in the last show talking about that.
Oh, well, thank you, Buju, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, Dr. Stately, we had a Ho-Chunk on yesterday. Matter of fact, we had an all-Ho-Chunk show. We had Arvina Martin. Ooh. And, of course, Haley, myself, and John. You were with John in, I believe, Albuquerque?
Yeah, John, yeah. John Hunter?
John Hunter, yes.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've known John for a really long time. My kids played lacrosse with Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, which is his organization that he started, I think, I want to say a little over 10 years ago, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was longer. But you know, my kids have played wooden stick lacrosse, and then also for his contemporary lacrosse team over the last several years. I think they stopped about 4 years ago. They stopped kind of playing lacrosse in the middle of the pandemic. It was kind of challenging to maintain them in two sports too. After I stepped into the role that I have, just kind of like navigating hockey and lacrosse as a busy father was really challenging. But he is just really a wonderful, amazing human being. John is I would say a community partner. He's part of a coalition of community member partners that we have here at NAC on a research implementation project that we do called Project BRAID, which stands for, it's an acronym. Project BRAID stands for Building Relationships Across Indigenous Endurance. The D in BRAID is actually the D in Endurance. So anyway, you ever see the logo, it's the D is capitalized with the line letter. But really that project was built out of my own experience as a parent of young boys who had like really a transformative, I think, kind of experience early in their lives playing wooden stick lacrosse. And so the project we built around that really was based on what I had seen my kids do, which was my sons picked up a lacrosse stick, had never picked up, played lacrosse ever before in their lives. And in 5 minutes, they were like scooping and managing the ball really well. And they built a whole network of people and friends and relatives around that game. And so I thought it would make a really great intervention project. And so we've been working together on that project for about almost 5 years now. So,
wow, that's cool. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately and Executive Officer at Native American Community Clinic. And Dr. Stately, we'll mention this again, but I wanted to let our listeners know in the last 15 seconds that we have a cancellation tonight.
Oh, yeah. Drum group that we have every Thursday night from 5 to 7 o'clock at NAC is canceled for tonight because our drum leader is out sick today. So we'll have it next week, next Thursday.
Cool. We'll bring it up again next segment. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Everyone wants to maximize their dollar. If you're looking for a new vehicle, the only place to go is Rudy Luther Toyota. Consumer Reports Best of 2025 edition has the most reliable vehicles as Toyotas. The Toyota Corolla, RAV4, and RAV4 Prime top the list of the most reliable cars. And Toyotas are fuel efficient, meaning less money at the pumps. Consumer Reports Best of Gas Mileage ranking has the Prius Camry, Corolla Cross Hybrid, RAV4 Hybrid, and the Highlander Hybrid top of their classes. Reliability and fuel efficiency, you'll find them both at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are with our friend Dr. Stately, and we are talking about a couple things, and I just want you to blast out that before we get going back into the nuts and bolts of what we were talking about earlier, just again, tonight's drum and dance will be canceled because due to illness.
Yeah, at our clinic, we held a men's drum group. They do a bunch of things. They sing, but they also sometimes do drum making. They've done flute making, they've done stick making, all kinds of different things. But that's a group that meets at our clinic here every Thursday evening from 5 till 7. They're canceled tonight because we our lead drum person is out sick this week. So we'll continue that next week. So if you come to drum group, or you have someone who you know or love that comes to drum group, or if you ever want to come to drum group, we'll be open next week. Everyone in the community is welcome to join.
That's awesome. And I know Haley brings that up when we talk about events. And so that's good that we got that update. Yeah, again, we were we're here with Dr. Stately, and we were talking a little bit about John Hunter, and we had him on the show yesterday, and how you work with him, and how we talked a lot about how health, spirituality, and all these things that you possibly wouldn't think of in a sport. And what you mentioned too, which really kind of rang a bell for me, was how your sons kind of grasped onto it. Like, it is the creator's game, and the creator gave it to us.
Yeah, it was really fascinating to me to see them at 5 years old, having never ever played lacrosse in any way, shape, or form. They picked up a wooden stick lacrosse stick, and they within 5 minutes they were like scooping the ball and cradling it, and then like that day they played on the field with a bunch of other kids that they didn't really know. They made some good relatives at that game that day. It was just a pickup game demonstration that he was doing at Osseo High School, I think, field. That was I think my sister Ramona, who used to work as an Indian educator at Osseo Schools, told me about it. But I think one of the things that was really very fascinating was I was standing next to this woman, and her sons were playing on the field as well. Her name is Evelyn, and she is from Lower Sioux. And, we were just talking, and our son started kind of playing together and stuff like that. She turns out she was living in Shakopee at the same time I was. And then, so we start chatting and talking. And then it turns out, as we just started kind of talking more about our lives and who we are, where we're from, and who our families are, turns out her mom was one of my best friends when I was in high school at South High, and we went to McAllister together. and I hadn't seen her mom or talked to her mom for a good 20 some years, because I had moved to the East Coast when I was in my early 20s, and I had only come back when my sons were born. And so it was just really cool that, like, it was an indication of like how this game, this thing that we play, this game that was given to us by Creator for all kinds of reasons. It's a game we can use for solving conflict. We can use it to learn a lot about our original instructions and who we are as Indigenous people, a way of relating with one another and solving conflicts, building relationships, building trust, collegialness, support for one another. Those are really some really great things, and skill sets to teach young boys and girls. But what was really amazing was just the relationships that I built with people around lacrosse during the years that they were playing. Became like a little family I could rely on. Those other as a mostly single dad at times, I could rely on other people with that families that were part of that network of people playing Indigenous lacrosse. I could rely on them to help me with the kids, pick them up from school and bring them to a lacrosse game, make sure that they were fed, those kinds of things. And it really gave me the idea for this project that we built at NAC, which is Project Braid is a project that we've been running now for 4 years. We're entering our fifth year. We've implemented two of the last 4 years. We've implemented at St. Paul Ames Academy, and we've also implemented this year in Boys and Girls Club at Minneapolis American Indian Center. And that project is a three-day project after-school program where the first day of the week they learn about our traditional medicines, our food, their connection to land, water, and to one another and to community. Spend a lot of time talking about those things. And then the other 2 days of the week, they're playing lacrosse and with John and his assistant coaches. And the intent of the project is to reconnect young people to their relationship to the land, water, food, medicines, to one another, to in an intergenerational family system, to really promote their health and their well-being emotionally, psychologically, physically, and spiritually as a mechanism to improve their healthier eating and also physical activity. It's funded through a grant that supports cardiovascular disease prevention. But I've built that project through relationships I built with Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, Stream of Wild Health, all of these people that are doing amazing work in the community. I just kind of brought them all together into this program and braided a program together to really support young people and their identity development, their reconnection to our culture, our language, our practices, our indigenous life ways as a foundation for health.
Wow. You know, when you mention those two organizations, it's funny, I'm a former teacher, and a lot of my students went through the ranks of both of those at one time or another. And that those organizations are definitely there for the young ones in the community. So it's great to hear those two organizations.
Yeah, it's a project I'm really proud of, not because I necessarily think I did something amazing, but I think I'm really proud of it because people who engage in the project, whether they're participants, so the youth or the families. We also monthly, one day a month, we have a family fun night where we partner with natives and indigenous food labs. We create indigenous food kits that we give to the families, and then we have a cooking demonstration. They get to taste the food and then take the kit home and make it. And the idea here really is to sort of like highlight and to integrate the work that is happening across our region and in the Twin Cities around this amazing work we're doing to improve the health and well-being of our kids, our families, our communities, and our nations, and to bring it into a place where they wouldn't normally see it necessarily, and to give it more access and more recognition.
Yeah.
And integrate it into systems like schools, like, you know, get those things into systems where a lot of our kids are involved and our families are involved. It's one other way of getting families and kids to trust the systems and to integrate those things into it and have the systems reflect who they are back to them.
Wow. Yeah. Bingo. Wow. That's brilliant. And again, you know, I've known students go through this, and they know a lot more, which is not saying much, a lot more than I do about a lot of things when it comes to, you know, food and other things that the Creator's given us.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the things that you mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, that we, John and I, were at a conference last week in New Mexico. Yeah. That conference was called the International Network of Indigenous Health Knowledge and Development, INAKID. It's a conference that happens and involves all kinds of indigenous people from all over Turtle Island and from across the entire globe. There was a big, huge New Zealand and Maori contingent there this year, about 100 and some people from Maori, from New Zealand. And, you know, one of the things that's really interesting in being in that space, we did a presentation on this project as a breakout session, and John did a lacrosse demonstration with the group. Like, you know, we're in this conference room and we just kind of push the tables back and we start playing lacrosse inside the hotel room, which is kind of crazy actually when you think about it.
Cool.
But people were really cool, really excited about it. They really had a great time and they had lots of questions, but also it sparked conversations about the way that people do these kinds of things in other places and spaces, and we're trading and sharing knowledge and wisdom and strategies and technologies and techniques for being able to sort of like decolonize learning, decolonizing health, decolonizing those things that give us health and well-being that are the foundation of who we are. And also people were really cool. They were excited. They asked, there was a local school. Well, not that local, it was about an hour north of Albuquerque, that invited John to come and do a demonstration of lacrosse at their school. And of course they thought it was really a wonderful experience. And then those places ask us to come and talk to them about our work and demonstrate what we do. And it's all about building the endurance and strength of and the health and well-being of our communities across.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Severe weather, including a possible tornado, is blamed on at least 4 deaths in St. Louis. KMOX's Amy Mark scores.
It just sounded like a freight train ran downstairs, ran in the basement, and it was so loud and deep.
The city's fire chief says three people had to be rescued after part of a church crumbled. One is among the dead. The sheriff's office in Orleans Parish, Louisiana, says when a lone guard left to get food, 10 men escaped from the jail. Sheriff Susan Hudson.
We do acknowledge there is no way people can get out of this facility without there being some type of lapse in security. There's no way.
Five Republicans joined Democrats to defeat President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill in the House Budget Committee. Several conservatives want deeper spending cuts and reforms. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Majority Leader Steve Scalise told CBS News that conversations continue around several aspects of the bill. The Budget Committee plans another vote on the measure Sunday night.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Minnesota Twins. It's the start of a three-game weekend series. The Twins come into Milwaukee as one of the hottest teams in the big leagues with an 11-game winning streak. We spoke to manager Pat Murphy in his office before the game.
Everything worries me about everybody. Everybody's good. There's not a team on that schedule there. There isn't a team on that schedule that you don't respect the same way. And then sometimes you over-respect teams that you don't need to. You certainly can't undervalue any team there because every team on that schedule can beat you. The record does not matter. The Reds just got beat 2-3 by the White Sox at home. You know, does that mean the Reds are a bad team? They're absolutely not a bad team. What does that mean? Tito Francona is a bad manager?
There's no.
Of course not. The bottom line is anybody, it's big leagues. Anybody can beat anybody any given day.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. I'll have a full recap later tonight from Milwaukee with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Scarlett Johansson says after her breakout role in 2003's Lost in Translation, she enjoyed success, but it came with the baggage of being offered acting roles that objectified her. The actress told Vanity Fair that she felt she was being exploited and had to have a talk with her representatives about what kind of roles she wanted. She also said her co-star in the film, Bill Murray, was in a strange place during the filming, saying that he was dealing with stuff. Love when people allude to things but don't give you the full tea. She did say she thinks Murray is in a much better place now as life has humbled him. If you haven't seen Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation, it's a great movie and Johansson is excellent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, some showers, even a few thunderstorms and breezy, lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, still an early shower and breezy, highs in the mid-60s. Partly sunny in mid to upper 50s Sunday.
It's 71 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matinee on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
We're doing this day without childcare. What we do is we talk about what would happen, what would it look like if we didn't have childcare. But we also talk about what could it be? What can we do to change the system? I love all the protests. I love all the people speaking out against things. But we also need to participate in democracy by saying what we want and what we need and talk to our reps that way. So that's what this event is all about.
Catch Matinee on air at its new time. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the new Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and artist-actor Steve Segrin joins the program. Now that's how you Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hey-cha, wait-cha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend Tony Drews coming on here. And Tony, it's great to see you. And I understand my Chujunk Haley ran into you a couple weeks ago, and that's really cool. And, you know, a Native Roots Trading Post has sold your products, and it's an amazing, amazing thing, and it's beautiful. We want to talk about you and about your great products and what you know, what's going on here. So again, a welcome, and please introduce yourself in a good way. Oh,
How miwa au Chinoden. Iga e Tony Indigenous. My Ojibwe name is Chinoden, which means big wind. I got that name from my grandma's cousin. People know me as Tony. Super excited to be on the broadcast today. Thank you so much for having me. Just a complete pleasure. So how miigwech for having me here today.
Wow, thank you so much too, Big Peeny Gigi. Haley, met Tony at the Wild Rivers State Park.
I sure did. Yeah, I went out there for the Maple Syrup Day, and Tony happened to be tabling there and had a lot of fun games and big crowds at his table. Everyone wanted to see what was going on.
Absolutely. You know, and when, you know, you started, I guess the games, your products are called Nashki Games. How did this come into fruition? I really like that word, by the way. How did this come into a fruition? And I know it's not been around a long time, but like Haley said, the buzz is out there.
Well, that's great to hear. And I just love the opportunity to talk about what we're doing. I used to work for the Anoka Hennepin Indian Education Program. I worked with the Anoka Cluster secondary students. And, you know, tasked with helping our Native students make sure they graduate and help them with attendance, but also with cultural enrichment. And, you know, I just worked with about 150 students, just great families. And all of our kids were just super proud to be Native American. Then when we started talking about, you know, our culture and stuff, it came apparent that, you know, our suburban Native students as a whole didn't really have a lot of context about their culture. So I was super excited. Went to the chalkboard. I was going to teach them everything that they needed to know. And apparently, talking about culture and language on the chalkboard isn't very exciting for middle school and high schoolers. So I was really struggling on, like, how am I going to be able to share this with my students in a meaningful way? And, you know, just kind of struggling week after week. They didn't have to come down. You know, they sent passes, and they were coming down because they wanted to know, but there was no connection there. And David Sam Abun from Mille Lacs had talked to me and given me a moccasin game. So I just brought that into my group with really no intentions, just like something different to talk about. And boy, it just sparked engagement. So I went home and I was like, oh, I need to, you know, figure out how to capture this in a weekly sense. And so I started making games that would convey our culture. On my little home printer here. And, you know, then my colleagues at Anoka Hennepin was seeing some positive effects and like, hey, what are you doing over there, Tony? And then, you know, I'd get interest from people from other districts and they want to buy things I wasn't selling. So, you know, I was fortunate before I worked at the Tawai Foundation to get a grant to bring our flagship game, Miigwech, which is a fur trade era game, at a professional level. And there was a lot of interest there. I was fortunate enough to get a grant from the Finnovation Fellowship, who invest in early stage entrepreneurs. So I'm not an entrepreneur, or maybe I am now, but you just knew I had this thing, and they helped me fine tune that. And really what started it too is like, we have our cultural hero in Ojibwe, Wayne Abuju. And, you know, of those 150 students I was working with, boy, just a couple of them even knew who he was. And I equated that to like maybe being Christian and never hearing of this entity, Jesus Christ. Like everything about Christianity is based in Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Everything about being Ojibwe is based in Wayne Abuju. And, you know, when you talk about Wayne Abuju, you're really behind the barrel there. So we incorporate all those images into our games to give starting points for like, hey, who is this? And then we can have those conversations. But I don't know if I went off the rails there. Hopefully that's kind of how we answered how we started up. I'm a Big Wind is my Ojibwe name, so I can talk here like a pro.
Well, you know what Ho-Chunk is, we're people of the big voice, so we're right on the same thing. And this is a radio show, so that's what we do is we talk about things. So you're right on track, Tony.
Perfect, Love Tony. It.
Yeah. So I have to tell you my experience a little bit, seeing the games, and it was really interesting, your puzzles, for instance. I had never seen anything like that. So when we had your puzzles down at the Dayton's Market, and Wendy, my wife, she put one together so people could see what it was, because really it looked like, you know, tongue dispensers with art on it, and what is this? But once it's explained and put out there, also I had a great, we were at Shakopee during the holidays, and we took the cards out of the playing cards that have all this great art on it, Ojibwe art, and we put them out so people could see them, and then people just bought them like crazy. It's just, let's talk about this art and where you've gotten it, and you know, the response that you're getting, I'm sure, is just fabulous, because we, you know, being a vendor of yours, have just gotten unbelievable responses when people know what they're looking at.
Yeah, I am. I've been very fortunate. I try to work with as many Native businesses and vendors as I can. I'm really here to promote our youth and our community. And I've just been very fortunate. We work with about three or four Native artists, but the two that we really started with was Bill Breen. I just seen his work and I really loved it. And I reached out to him, and we share a personal connection with loss. And, you know, he really got me going, and he is really our first artist. And then I was able to connect with Chelsea Smith, just a talented Native artist from Boys Fort. And so they really support our work. Nicole Bean has done some work for us in the greeting card area. I just love to uplift our community, and these Native artists have really helped build our brand for us.
Yeah, so let's talk about what's all in your brand, and I'm sure you're getting more and more things, but I talked a little bit about the playing cards and the puzzles, but there's so much more.
Yeah, unfortunately, my brain doesn't stop. So we started out with, we have three main categories right now. We have reimagined traditional games. So these are games our people have been playing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And just by playing these games, you're immersing yourself into our culture. Something notable about these games is because they are a part of our culture, they do have some cultural protocols around them. And for example, one of our flagship games, the Moccasin game, and that's the game that David Samabun first gave me. In our culture anyhow, it's really a men's game. But the problem is our culture doesn't, our families don't know about this game. Like none of the students I worked with knew about it. Their families didn't, but we were in a conundrum with these games in particular. And the Bagasi game the dish game falls into this. So we really hesitate, like, how do we do this in a good way? A minoba matazian, like we always, akawaya sema, we always start with tobacco in our culture. So when we started to get to a point where like, hey, these are our games that our community's interested in, and we want to be able to get these out there, we went to elders and we gave them our tobacco and said, hey, we want to get these out there, but we know that there's these hiccups with them. You know, please advise, like, should we not be doing this? Or
right.
And they came back and they said, you know what, this is not the moccasin game. And it's not. Like, our scoring is really tailored down to a real foundational base. They're really just meant as teaching tools to help people learn more about them. And then hopefully our youth will say, hey, I know about this, and then seek out elders to know more about those traditional games. So we call them our reimagined traditional games.
Cool.
And right now we have the snake game, the Bagasi game, and the moccasin game. Then we have contemporary card games. We have our version of Go Fish. We call it Banishiyug.
Oh,
it's a bird game. And what we love about this is we provide the Ojibwe to play the game all in Ojibwe. Gawabaman, kukuku. Do you see the owl? So we use the verb to see instead of have. Mm-hmm. And you can play the whole game in Ojibwe with that one sentence. And then we provide on our website free resources. We have videos for all of our games. So you can hear that language too to incorporate it in your gameplay.
Oh, wow.
But of course, they can all be played in English. And then Meek Witch is our flagship game. It's to expose our community and really assist teachers and families to talk about the fur trade era. Mm-hmm. And Meek Witch, right, means thank you. That's one of the most common words. But, you know, really, there's no way to say you're welcome. And what does that tell us? That tells us right. that Witch is a newer word.
Exactly. Tony, I want to get that website out before I forget, because, you know, I'm getting some timers. I'm getting old now, getting hard, you know, forgetting to pay bills and things like that. But we won't go there in this segment. But hey, what's the website, Tony?
Yeah, just nushke.com.
So let's spell that out. NASHKE.com. Right on. Cool. Let's talk a little bit more. You know, there's so much to talk about, and there's so many things that you got going on there. People can get on your website, check out the videos, which is awesome to hear, because I, you know, Ho-Chunk play the game too. What game did you say in the beginning?
Moccasin
game. I'm sorry. Yeah. And so that's a big thing with the young ones, I've noticed. So That's cool that these traditions bleed over in different tribes.
Yeah, and that's something, like, once you start to learn about things, you learn how little you know. And I've learned so much about these games now that it's something that I've been learning about.
Well, heck, that's get you back on for another segment, and how people can and talk about more of your games, because this is something, again, you almost have to be there to see it, to believe it, but also having the videos up there really, really helps. And I think we're taking a break here, right, Haley?
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds. I want to shout out nashke.com, NASHKE.com is where you can check out games. And can people order from there too, Tony?
You can definitely order. We also cater to educators, so we have an educator tab. Tax exempt, do special bundles for educators too. Yep, you can order right from my shop too.
Right on. Good question. As always, producer Haley, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans is conducting a community needs survey. Two-Spirit and Native queer voices are sacred and must be heard. Your experiences will guide programs and policies that support our relatives across Minnesota. The survey is confidential and available at mnqt.info/survey. The deadline is May 31st. Honor your story. Help build the future we deserve.
At Metro State University, students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs like healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of Minnesota's most diverse universities, Metro State is dedicated to providing a welcoming environment for all students. Explore 60-plus bachelor's programs at their May 29th open house in St. Paul. Learn about how free tuition is possible for eligible students through the North Star Promise Scholarship. Visit metrostate.edu/openhouse. Know your power. Metro State University.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show today, we want to howl in support of our Minnesota Timberwolves. Catch them tonight in the playoffs at 7:30 p.m.
Howl! And don't forget to protect our wolves. It was interesting, Haley and Tony, the Lieutenant Governor is in the Wolf Clan. So there you go. That's, we even had the bumper on there. Is that just that came from the skies, I think. Oh, wow.
Hey, sure gave us to it.
That's right. Thank you. Hey, we have Tony Drews on, Nashke Games founder and CEO in Leech Lake Ojibwe, which my son-in-law is a Leech Laker too. And we don't like to bring that up during holidays, but he is. And
poor Micah.
Micah would get mad if he heard me say that. He doesn't listen anymore. Oh, but Micah, yeah. Great. We just had the grandbabies over here, and that's Micah's children. So I got to be nice to Micah. Yeah.
We love you, Micah.
We sure do. Hey, let's talk a little bit more. So roughly how many games do you have, Tony?
So we have the three reimagined traditional games. We have the two contemporary card games, and then we have the 52-54 playing deck with the Ojibwe culture and art, and then we have puzzles and memory tiles for them. We have three games in the works, and we've partnered with Dakota Partners to hopefully come out with a few Dakota games here coming up in the next 6 months or so.
With your puzzles, there's four, is it four different kinds, four versions of those puzzles?
Yeah, so we've taken the decks of cards in our contemporary games. So we have the seagull and the owl playing cards, the go fish cards, and we've turned that whole deck into they each have their own puzzle, and they have their own memory tiles. And same with the Miigwetch pack. We have four different expansion packs, and we've taken two and combined them into the puzzles and the memory tiles as two.
Well, I think you should have a Ho-Chunk a puzzle that has maybe some of the mounds out in Wisconsin. That would be very cool. That are some of them are still hidden out there, but you know, we got the man mound. That's a very cool one, and then of course bear, and I've seen eagle mounds. But that would be cool. Maybe Haley can whip up a painting there. Oh,
Tony, last time we were talking, did you say that you guys were starting to incorporate some Dakota language as well?
We are. We're working with Sokaduka right now to turn our 54 deck of playing cards, our Ojibwe one, turning that into a Dakota version for our Dakota relatives. So I'm starting to get into that realm a little bit. We're always asked. So I'm Ojibwe, right? I'm from Leech Lake. That's my wheelhouse. Yeah. So that's why we want to partner with people to do it with Fidelity.
That's very cool. Great question. And what's that website again there, Haley?
Nashke.com, NASHKE.com. And you can find a list of the games on there. You can order directly from there and learn more. And everything.
And the videos, which I'm a visual learner, so that's really good for me.
That's huge.
Thank you. You're welcome. So, Tony, tell it. Go ahead, Haley. Were you going to say?
Oh, no, you're good. I just wanted to bring up. I wanted to see if Tony could. You gave us, or you had the whoopee cushions, and they had Ojibwe language written on them. Those. And I just
so what we do. We do in addition to the games, we do a lot of in-person events, maybe professional developments for teachers. We're welcomed into schools to work with students. So our whole brand is based on joy, right? If you learn through joy, you're 95% more to retain that information. So we do this big event at the end of our presentation where we ask mostly the students, but maybe the teachers, to help save our language and learn one word. And I teach them the sacred word that, you know, my grandma used to say when I was little. And we really build it up. They really think they're going to get some sacredness. And then we end with boogid to fart, you know, and then we... You know, it's joyful. Everyone laughs unless they're in middle school. And then, you know, we say, Gigibu Gidana, did you fart? And then maybe gawin mashe, and not yet. So we're just building off of playfulness, and it's always a hit. So yeah, we love that part of what we do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, the old saying, I was always a kind of a, well, I went to the University of Minnesota, and Lou Holtz always said, as a coach, if you got them laughing, you got their attention.
Yep.
And so I taught for 30 years with that in mind, but sometimes it backfired, but that's another show and another story.
Mm-hmm. There is something that I was wondering if I could share too.
Yes.
Well, the community has been so good to me, and I've been working with our community for my whole professional career. What we do at Nushgate Games is giving back to, and in the last 2 years, we've given back almost over $20,000, mostly in individual scholarships to our youth, but also to other community investments. So that's really important to us, and I love just to talk about that when I get the opportunity.
That's huge. That's huge. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
It's our honor. And for the listeners too, we will be launching a community scholarship for $500 very shortly on behalf of Dave Samabun in his name. So if they check out my Facebook page, probably within the next 3 weeks, we'll be putting that out there for the community to apply for.
Wow. Wow. Tony, you're a rock star. I really appreciate it. Haley, before we let Tony go, do you have any questions? You're kind of leaning towards that mic. Let her rip. I see that.
Sure. Well, I guess I could just thank you, Tony, for coming on. And I hope to see you in community soon. I'm sure I will. But I wanted to see if you were going to be at any other community events coming up.
Boy, I'm booked solid coming up in the schools because of the end of the year. But we will be at the we'll be in Bloomington, I think, on the 18th for their art festival. And then Trickster Tacos is hosting a music festival July 5th. We'll be there, too.
Oh, yeah. Wow. The food truck festival.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely. Well, that'll be cool. Wow. Tony, thank you again for all you do. And then one more time on that website before we let you go.
Nushkae.com. NASHAE.com.
Hey, Big Peeny Geeky, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have to get you on again, especially when you get close to your scholarship so we can promote that to the community. But, Tony, thank you so much, really, for everything. And what a great idea. And doing it in a good way, that's just awesome.
Oh, Jimmy Gwich, thank you.
Right on. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love – yeah, Tony's great. I got to meet his daughter was there helping out at the Wild River State Park Maple Syrup Day, and she was great too. She was covering the table for her dad and teaching some games. So stepping right in there as the next generation.
Right. Well, I'm still waiting. Were you making me some maple syrup? Was that what was going on?
When that was my learning year. Okay. So next year, maybe we'll do.
We'll have to check it out and tap those trees in that land we have out in White Bear Township.
Oh, yeah. They were teaching how to identify maple trees and different types of trees. And it was actually a lot harder, at least for me, because I'm used to having the leaves on them and telling the trees like by the leaves. But we were identifying them by the bark, which is actually a really great skill to have.
Wow, that is a great school because, you know, I've been told that we have a little buckthorn in that area, so I don't want to tap any buckthorn. Oh, wow.
No, hopefully not. Or nothing. Yeah, nothing else. I don't know. I don't know what you get out of that.
Well, I'm heading over to all my relations checking out the artists and, we'll be doing that. And this has been a great show and great to have two Tonys on, really. Anthony and Tony, right?
You're totally right.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, I just lost a... Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, including the state Republican convention with our friends at Wisconsin Watch and State Senator Royce on the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans.
So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Trees and other debris being cleared after a storm, including a radar-confirmed tornado, rips through the St. Louis area, killing at least four people. The storm tore roofs off of buildings and brought down power lines. Newly released recordings obtained by Axios from Special Counsel Robert Hur's 2023 interview of then-President Biden regarding classified documents found at his house show a sometimes confused man taking long pauses and struggling to remember details, including when his son died. Hur declined to prosecute Biden. 8 out of the 10 inmates who broke out of a New Orleans jail this morning are still on the run. Orleans Parish Sheriff Susan Hudson says there are indications they had help.
It's almost impossible, not completely, but almost impossible for anybody to get out of this facility without help from the outside.
Authorities say the lone guard assigned to the inmate cell pod was away getting food at the time they broke out. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.